James chapter number 3, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." And that's very true. If there's, you know, the Bible says, "In the multitude of words there one if not sin," and we can't live life without offending someone with our words. It's going to happen. Verse number 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." This evening, the title of the message is "The Dangers of Our Tongue." We're going to talk about how powerful our tongue is and how dangerous it can be. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this privilege to come to church, Lord. Thank you for our pastor and the work he does and the love he has for you, the love he has for his people. I pray, Lord, that thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach in his stead, Lord. It's definitely a blessing, and I don't want to mess it up, Lord. I pray that you'd use me, and I pray that you would be able to be a help to all these people here tonight, Lord. And just do a work in our midst, Lord, I pray, and help us to listen, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We all have a tongue, and obviously, and if someone doesn't have a tongue, you're going to know pretty quick, you know, just by talking to them. And, you know, without our tongue, we couldn't communicate. You know, imagine living in a world with no spoken communication. Imagine if we had to write down everything we wanted to say. Every time we wanted to communicate with somebody, we had to write it down in sentences, or we had to text them. We can never talk to someone face to face. Imagine if we had to... communication would be very difficult. Imagine if when we go soul winning, we knock on a door, and the only way we could give them the gospel is by just showing them the track and pointing at the verses and hoping that they understand, hoping that they get it. And there, you know, we'd be very limited if we didn't have our tongue to use to speak. We really would be unable to communicate without our tongue and mouth. And, you know, honestly, if we never, throughout all the time, never had the ability to talk, there may possibly not be a written language. Maybe there would be some form of written language, but probably wouldn't be as specific as we have it today. And our tongues are very important when it comes to just everyday life. And we ought to thank God for our tongue. Our tongue is a very powerful member of our body. The Bible illustrates it talking about a ship. You know, you got this great big old ship, and it's going through the sea, but yet the small helm can turn this big old giant ship in the sea. Just the one little member, one little part of that ship is so powerful that it affects, it influences the entire boat, the entire ship, because of that one small helm. And our tongue definitely influences our entire lives every single day. And, you know, wars can be started or ended through words. Presidents, when they go through their campaigns, you know, they're successful or they're unsuccessful just because of their words. You know, they have those speeches, and certain people with certain personalities can say different things and win the hearts of a lot of people all because of their words. Someone can be pronounced guilty or innocent because of the words of one man. Words can influence someone's eternity. And certainly none of us in here, most of us probably wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for our tongue, if it wasn't for the ability to communicate. In Ephesians 6:19, Paul says, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And Paul had to use his mouth and tongue to make the gospel known to the lost. And think back when you got saved. Think back the day you got saved. You know, who was it that spoke and made the gospel known to you? Was it a preacher or a pastor? Was it a parent, a mom or dad? Was it your friend that came over and told you the gospel? Was it a soul winner that came by your door? Who was it that spoke the gospel, made it known to you? And aren't you glad that someone spoke up? Aren't you glad that someone told you how to be saved? I'm glad it was my mom who showed me how to accept Christ. And I remember that very vividly. And I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, what power our tongue has. You know, imagine Imagine never being able to physically tell our kids, or tell your kids, I love you. What if we could never tell our parents, hey, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. What if we could never hear from our parents, son, I'm proud of you. Son, you did a good job. Imagine how dull our life would be if we could never tell a joke. If we can never cut up and have a good time. Imagine how dull that would make life. Imagine how Christians would be when it comes to coming to church and growing spiritually. Imagine how many Christians would never really truly grow because the pastor would never be able to get up and yell out, thus saith the Lord. And our tongues are very powerful, and we should appreciate our tongues and how vital our tongue is to our lives. And we certainly should be grateful for our tongue. And I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, realize the significance of our mouths, the significance of, that our tongue has in our lives. But we also must be, we must also beware of our tongue. Our tongue can be very dangerous. And yes, our tongue is a wonderful part of our body, but there's also a very great danger. You know, think, if you had a gun, and I love guns. I have some guns of my own, and guns are great. They're great for protection, and we definitely know that in the world we live in. We definitely need guns to protect ourselves. They're great, you know, they're great for, tools for hunting. I love to hunt, and I don't bow hunt. I would like to possibly one day, but, you know, so if I didn't have a gun, you know, I wouldn't be able to hunt. And it's good for hunting. It's a good hobby, a good sport. But, you know, imagine if you took a pistol, a 9mm, and you gave it to a 5-year-old who's never messed with a pistol, didn't know what it was, didn't know what it did, and you just gave it, put a bullet in the chamber, took it off a safety and you just handed it to that child. How many of y'all would do that? How many of y'all would give a gun to a 5-year-old? None of us would do that because that would be disastrous, wouldn't it? And you know, there's kids that have times that has happened, you know, getting into dad's gun cabinet or getting into, you know, wherever dad stores the gun and, you know, something horrible happening there because they didn't know how to use, something that, yes, is good, but, they didn't know how to use it properly and it was very disastrous. Or imagine, you know, what if, a murderer who's killed several people is in jail and he escapes and it gets a gun. You know, things would go south very fast, wouldn't it? And, our tongue is the same way. Yes, our tongue is wonderful. Yes, our tongue is great, but if not used properly, if we're not careful, we can create a lot of damage with our tongue. And our tongue can be very deadly. Look at our text in James chapter number 3. The Bible is going to give a description of our tongue. We'll begin in verse 5 when it gets into it. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And God says our tongue is a world of iniquity. And God says our tongue is set on fire of hell. He says our tongue is untamable and ungovernable. We can't control our tongue. We ourselves are unable to get control of our tongue. Our tongue is, Bible says, is full of deadly poison. The Bible says our tongue is hypocritical. You know, Bible says we use our tongue to be kind to people, but then we'll turn around and use our tongue to stab someone in the back. And our tongue is very dangerous. Our tongue is very deadly. Our tongue, the Bible says, will cause our entire body to be filthy with sin. In verse 6, it says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body. And we can live a life full of sin because of our tongue. And our tongue can get us into trouble. We need to beware of the damaging words that can come out of our mouths. And David, he was aware of the danger of his tongue. He said, he knew that his tongue, he had to beware of his tongue. He knew that his tongue could be used as a deadly weapon against people. And he knew this because he said in Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And David calls out to God and says, Lord, would you help me? Would you help my tongue to be acceptable in your sight? Would you help the words that come out be what would please you? And David knew what his tongue was capable of. And I want to look through several different areas, several different dangers that we should beware of when it comes to our tongue. The first thing I want, we'll talk about is, number one, the danger of false talk, using our tongue to speak lies. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. The Bible says in verse number 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And too often our tongue is dangerously used to speak lies. God says that when we speak lies, when we live a life full of lies, it's not going to stand. If you live a lie, the danger is that the truth will one day be revealed. And we don't need to live a lie. We just need to maybe say, well, I don't live a lie. Yes, every now and then my tongue tells a small lie. I use my tongue to twist the truth, and I don't live a lie, but every now and then I tell lies. And God says that when it comes to lying, He says that He hates it. In Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and heads that shed innocent blood. He says in verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And God hates lying. And I believe there's a lot of Christians, and I'm guilty. There's times, you know, we'll say something that maybe is half truth, or we'll say something that maybe it's just a small lie that seemingly doesn't hurt anybody. We just maybe we're embarrassed to admit what we really said, or maybe we're embarrassed to admit what we really thought, or whatever it may be. And it ought not be that way. We need to beware of our tongue because of the fact that it uttereth lies. In Proverbs 19:5, the Bible says, "The false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." And the danger of our tongue, one danger is the fact that we use our tongue to speak falsely. We use our tongue to speak lies. And God says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished." God will make sure to take care of His children who aren't living the truth, who aren't speaking the truth, who are giving lies at our work. We're telling lies about how we did our job, or we're telling lies because we cheated in our schoolwork, or we're telling lies to our family or to our spouse or whoever it may be. And God tells us that a false witness shall not be unpunished. We need to be aware of the false talk that comes out of our mouth. Number two, the Bible tells us that there's the danger of unkind talk. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. God says our tongue is a world of iniquity. And there's many things we have, as Christians, we have to be aware of. One is we need to be aware of telling lies. The second thing, we need to be aware of being unkind to others. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 31. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, God tells Christians, hey, you need to be kind. You need to treat others with kindness. And our unkind words we exchange with others, the Bible says, is going to hurt them. And God tells us that we shouldn't let bitterness come inside of us, which turns into bitter words, because it's going to hurt us. And the Bible tells us, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. But also, God tells us that it's going to hurt others. When we have bitterness and we use bitter words against people because we're angry, because someone crossed us, or because someone was rude to us, because something happened that made us mad. God says when we use unkind words against each other, it's like we're using our tongue as a weapon. In Psalm 64, verse 3, the Bible says, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. God says bitter words, they're like arrows that we're bending and shooting at people, hurting people with our words. And we hear this saying, stick and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's a lie, because words do hurt people. And God says that bitter words, that He compares them to arrows that are ready to shoot. And when we're going around using bitter words against people, we're hurting people and we're damaging people. And Christians are supposed to be helping people. Christians are supposed to be loving people and helping, showing them the gospel, showing them God's love, showing them that the Christian life is a wonderful life to live. But instead, a lot of people in the world will hear Christians using unkind words, using bitter words, because we're mad at our spouse. So we go around talking about it at work, or we're mad at our sibling, and we go at school saying how much we don't like our sibling and how much we like to be at school because we don't have to see him. And we use unkind words, and Christians should never be hateful in their speech. It ought not be that we have to tell someone what we think because they wronged us somehow. That's not right. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it gives the descriptions of many different words. These words define in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it gives this, I'm going to read several different definitions from several of these different words all compiled together, and just listen to how this sounds. These words define, it means extreme enmity. It means a grudge. It means hatred. It means violent anger. It means vehement exasperation. These words mean indignation. The Bible, these words that the Bible uses here, it means a violent passion of the mind excited by a real or supposed injury. Someone hurt us, so we get angry, we get upset, and we become violent with our words and try to hurt people with our words. And these words define means a great outcry. It means noise. It means slander, defamation. And we're defaming people. We're trying to bring people down, cut people down because we're angry. Maybe we're not. Maybe the people we cut down aren't even the people that we're angry at. We're just allowing what others have done to us, and we're treating others that way because we're angry on the inside. And God says that's not right. God says that's wicked. And we ought to be kind to others. Do these definitions describe our homes? Do these definitions, if someone were to walk in your house in the middle of the week, are they hearing yelling and screaming? If our parents walk in to your rooms, kids, while you're playing with your siblings, do they come in to yelling and fighting and screaming and saying, I don't like you, or I hate you, or you know, whatever it may be, and you're using unkind words, trying to tear your sibling down through your words? If so, that's not how it ought to be. God says we ought to be kind. We ought to not use bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. God says we ought to put that away, and we ought to be kind one to another. And do they show? Do our words at school, are they unkind to others? Or when we're around our enemies, do we start getting unkind? When someone crosses us, do all of a sudden there's a flip, just switch, and all of a sudden we're unkind to everyone we're around because someone hurt us, because someone did something wrong to us? You know, we got to remember as Christians that we wronged Christ. And every sin ever committed was against Christ. Yet He died for us, and He was kind. The Bible says God's kind to His enemies, and He's kind to the unthankful, the Bible says. Surely if God can be kind to the unthankful, I think we can be kind to people that are sinners just like us. We got to learn to be kind to others. And how our unkindness ruins our testimony and causes us to have no peace in our heart, because and our tongue is a very dangerous weapon. It can be used to be unkind to others. So number one, there's false talk. We use our tongue to be dishonest and to tell lies. We use our tongue to be unkind. We have unkind talk. Number three, there's the danger of discouraging talk. And it kind of goes along with being unkind, but the danger of discouraging talk. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Same chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. Let's look what the Bible says here. The Bible tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God says our words ought to edify people, ought to lift others up, ought to encourage others. And the Bible says, exhort one another daily. Are we tearing people down through our words? Do people constantly hear from us how bad the special sounded? If someone comes up and sings a bad special, maybe they're off maybe we're not trying to be unkind, but we're just simply just discouraging people. We're going to them and say, yeah, man, you did a good job, but man, on that course right there, man, you hit an off key, man. You said that word wrong. Man, you messed up that sentence, whatever it may be. And we're discouraging. Maybe they're doing their very best. Maybe they're working their hardest to sing for the Lord. And then someone comes along and says, hey, man, you said that wrong. A preacher will preach. And maybe sometimes he reads a verse. And maybe he mispronounces a word. Or maybe he skips a verse on accident. Or maybe he skips a word. And is it this way where after he's done, there ought not be that Christians come up and say, man, preacher, that was great, but you know, on this verse, I think you misread it. On this verse, you said this name that way, and it's not pronounced that way. It's pronounced this way, preacher. And how discouraging that must be for a preacher who just poured his heart out to us and studied all week and prayed all week and said, Lord, what do you want me to give to my people that you put me over? And he preaches and does his best, and then someone comes and discourages him. And it ought not be that way amongst Christians. Our words shouldn't discourage others. In Galatians, Paul asked, he said, what? He asked them, who doth hinder you? And there was the Galatians were teaching false doctrine when it comes to salvation. They're adding works to salvation. And Paul said, man, who was it that hindered you? Who messed you up and caused you to teach these things? And applied this way, you know, who is it that you know, if God asks a Christian, you know, who doth hinder you? Someone who's discouraged. I wonder if our name is brought up because we're hindering someone from living for the Lord and living for the Lord to their full potential. They're not going as far as they could go because we're discouraging them. It ought not be that way. There's the danger of false talk. There's the danger of unkind talk. There's the danger of discouraging talk. And then number four, there's the danger of filthy talk. Turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. This is Brother Freddie's water from this morning. Brother Richard was telling me, I'm glad he didn't drink it. Hope he didn't drink it. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. The Bible says, filthy communication out of your mouth. I believe the majority of us, and this message is for me just as much as it is for anyone else. This message is tearing me down just as much as it may tear someone else down. And I need this message. We all struggle with our tongue, and we got to be aware of our tongue. And I think the majority of us Christians struggle with, maybe not the majority, but I believe a lot of us struggle with our tongues being filthy in the sense of just dirty talk, just talking about things that shouldn't be talked about. And Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word filthy is defined dirty. It's defined foul, unclean, nasty. It also is defined polluted, defiled by sinful practices, morally impure. Now, I just wonder how often throughout the week are we just simply talking dirty words, talking dirty things, talking foul, unclean, nasty things that Christians should not be talking about. Giving suggestions to different things that bring impure and wicked thoughts in people's minds just because we want to be funny. And God says that filthy communication ought not be in our mouth. Christians shouldn't be using their tongues to cuss. Whether we are angry or we're just talking to someone casually, no cussing should ever be part of our vocabulary. Dirty jokes are wicked and shouldn't fill a Christian's mouth. Giving dirty innuendos and saying crude words is wicked and dirty and foul in God's eyes. And God doesn't want us to be talking filthy. God doesn't want us to be with our friends and we think it's funny and cute to say something that puts thoughts in our minds and causes us to think impure thoughts, unclean thoughts. And God says it should not be that way. Our talk should be clean. Our talk should be holy. Our talk should be something that puts clean thoughts in people's minds. Not something that's dirty. Not something that's nasty. Not something that's wrong. And God doesn't want filthy words to be coming out of our mouth. And so there's a danger of our filthy talk. There's a danger of our false talk. The danger of unkind talk, using unkind and hateful words to people. The danger of discouraging talk, discouraging people with our words. Number five, there's a danger of proud talk. And turn to Psalms chapter number 12. Psalms chapter number 12. The danger of being proud with our words. Psalms chapter 12 and verse number 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? And that sounds like a very proud person. I believe all of us would agree. And how easily can one observe the haughtiness and the boastfulness that comes from the mouth of someone who's proud? And it's easy to recognize, but yet many of us, we all struggle with it. We'll say, man, I can do this. I know what I'm doing. No one needs to tell me what to do. Who does that preacher think he is preaching on my sin? He's getting a little nosy preaching what he's preaching. And he doesn't need to tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen to anyone. And that's just pride. That's all that is pride. And the proud tongue, the Bible says, will lead to destruction. In Proverbs 16:18, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I believe too often, me included, we'll go around and we want to try to tell everybody what we're doing and everybody what we're accomplishing because we want to brag on ourselves. Maybe we try to hide it and try to be proudly humble about it. But in reality, on the inside, we're like, man, I want to tell them what I'm doing. I want to tell them what's going on in my life, what I've accomplished. And we're proud and we're boasting of what we're talking about. And God says that pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And God will be sure to humble us if we can't get our tongue to be humble before. If we can't get our tongue to be humble before He humbles us, He'll make sure to do it. So we need to beware of our false talk, telling dishonest things, lying to others. We need to be aware of unkind talk. We need to be aware of discouraging talk, filthy talk, and proud talk. And number six, there's the danger of forward talk. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. That word froward, not forward, but froward, that word is defined as this. It means perverse. It says perverse, that is turning from, with aversion or reluctance. It means not willing to yield or comply with what is required. It means unyielding, ungovernable, refractory, disobedient, and it says, it gives an example as a froward child. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 31, the Bible tells us the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. And a froward tongue, a tongue that is not willing to yield or comply, a tongue that when the boss tells us what to do, we have to argue with him and give him 20 reasons why we think his idea is dumb, instead of just saying, yes, sir, I'm going to do it. And that Bible says that's a froward tongue. When someone, your leader, whoever it may be, if it's your boss at work, if it's someone that's over you at the church, if it's your parent, no matter who it is, if it's an authority over you and they tell you to do something, we ought to do it. We shouldn't argue. We shouldn't say, well, you know, I may be needing to do that, but you know, you don't do this. Or, okay, you know, fine. I don't know why. I don't understand why I have to do it. Or we'll give reasons why, you know, I think your idea is dumb. I don't think we should do it that way. God says that's a froward tongue. God says that basically that's a rebellious tongue. So a tongue that is not willing to yield, and we're not willing to be governed by someone. We're too proud to just say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and do it. And do you argue with your parents? Do you argue with your boss or your teacher? or someone who leads you when you're told what to do, a tongue that talks back, that has an attitude and asks why instead of simply obeying, that's, the Bible says that's wrong and that's wicked and that's devilish. It's not how Christians ought to live. Christians ought to be obedient. The Bible says that we're supposed to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. And he says that that's the will of God, that we submit to every ordinance of man. No matter who it is, it gives a list of all these different type of leaders and powers. God says we're supposed to submit to them and we're supposed to comply. And God hates the mouth of the forward, the mouth who's just unwilling to say, okay, I'll do it. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. God says, hey, I hate the Christian who just instead of just saying yes, sir, and doing it, who has to argue, who has to give all the reasons why they don't think they should do it that way, instead of just saying, yes, sir, I'll do it. And yes, maybe it's not the way you would do it, but unless he's telling you to do something wrong, we need to just simply obey. And so we need to. There's a danger of the false talk. We got to beware. We got to beware of the danger of unkind talk. We need to beware as Christians of the danger of discouraging talk. We need to beware of the danger of filthy talk. We need to beware of the danger of a proud talk and of the forward talk. We're talking about how dangerous our tongue can be. So number seven, we need to beware of the danger of complaining talk. Turn to Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11. We're not even going to read the whole verse. Just one little phrase is all we need to see how God feels about this. In Numbers chapter 11, look at verse number 1. Numbers 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." God, I'm pretty sure God is still displeased when his people complain. I don't think it's changed. I'm pretty sure God feels the exact same way. When he's taking care of his children, he's meeting their needs. He's making sure that they're taken care of. But then he hears a complaint. Then he hears, well, why don't we have this? Why can't it be this way? Hey, I'm pretty sure God's just as displeased. We are so blessed. We're saved. We're going to heaven. We don't have to go to hell. We live in America. We have money. We may not be rich, but our needs are met. God makes sure of it. He gives us food to eat. We have cars here to drive. We have AC in our houses in the summertime. We have heat to keep us warm in the wintertime. And the list goes on and on of the many, many blessings that God has blessed us with. The many things that we don't even think twice to thank God for on a daily basis. But yet there's so many people that don't have those things. But yet, how sad it is that our tongue, even though we're so blessed, even though we have all that we have here, and God has been so good to us, and even though God continues to be good to us, He says He daily loadeth us with benefits, even though all this is so, our tongue will still complain just because McDonald's got our hamburger wrong in the drive-thru. Or we'll still complain whenever something doesn't go our way, whenever we don't have it, we don't have it just exactly how we think it ought to be. We don't have it just exactly the way we want it to be. Our car it's not the newest model that we want it to have. We don't have the newest phone. We have, you know, this such ancient old phone 2 years ago that came out, and all these different things. And it's just, we complain so much, but it's just crazy because we have so much. You would think Americans would be the most grateful people, but that's the complete opposite. The Americans are the most ungrateful people. The Americans are the biggest complainers, and Christians are among that crowd. Christians are among the crowd that are so spoiled, yet we're so ungrateful, and it shouldn't be that way. And if we're not careful, well, our tongue will go on a rampage of just complaining and complaining and say, well, this isn't going right. Well, that's not going right. Well, this is going wrong. Well, that's not the way I thought it was going to be. Well, you know, this happened, and we complain. And God says that He is displeased when we complain. We ought to be grateful. He wants us. He says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. If you say, I want to follow God's will, learn to be thankful. That's a good way to start. That's part of His will, is that we learn to be grateful for everything and in everything. So we need to beware. We need to beware of the danger of false talk. We need to beware of the danger of unkind talk. We need to beware of the danger of discouraging talk, filthy talk, proud talk, forward talk, being rebellious, complaining. And then number eight, lastly, we got to beware of the danger of just simply much talk. The Bible tells us, and you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. The Bible says, in the multitude of words, and we said, we quoted this a moment ago, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. And someone who just constantly is talking and talking and talking, and the Bible calls them busybodies. And he talks about these people that aren't working, they're just busy. If the Bible is written today, he said they're always on Facebook and they're always on Twitter and they're always talking and saying, they're always giving their opinion, they're always saying this, and they're always saying, well, you know, I think it should have been this way, and whatever it may be. And God says, in the multitude of words, when we just constantly talk and we don't learn to just be quiet and work and just do what we're supposed to do, when we just keep talking and keep talking, God says that we're going to sin. We're going to fall into sin. And remember, the Bible says our tongue, that it defiles the whole body. It causes our whole body just to be filthy of sin. And that's because of the truth of the fact that, you know, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And we got to be careful how dangerous our tongue is. We must learn to get control of our tongue. We must learn, instead of our tongue being false and dishonest, we need to have our tongue always be telling the truth. We should have our tongue always being kind to others. We need to work on having our tongue encouraging others instead of discouraging. We need to do our best to have our tongue be clean and pure and not be full of filthy jokes and filthy words. Our tongue ought to be humble. We ought not be boasting of ourselves and saying how we don't need others or how we don't need God, whatever it may be. Our tongue ought to be just obedient and respectful. Our tongue ought to be grateful, and our tongue really ought to be few. Our words ought to be few. We shouldn't be spending so much time always talking and telling people what we think or what's going on or whatever. Our tongue is very dangerous, and God says that no man can tame our tongue. If that's the case, you know, how in the world are we supposed to? What are we supposed to do with our tongue? And just let it run wild? Well, no. God says no man can tame it. But the Bible tells us that with God, nothing's impossible. God can tame our tongue. He can help us keep our tongue under control. Does that mean we'll ever be perfect? No. Because remember, the Bible says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And we know none of us are perfect. Let's face it, we're going to offend people at times. We're going to say something we shouldn't say. We're going to have to get right with people and with God. But we can do our best, you know, instead of it being, you know, every 5 minutes we're having to get right because of something we said. Maybe it can just be every now and then we're having to get right. And how can we do this? How can our tongue be under control? How can we get God's help? God gives us two things that we need to ask God for. Something we can go to God and ask God, Lord, would you do this so my tongue can be right? And I believe it's found in James chapter number 3. Turn back to James chapter number 3, back in our text. There's just two quick things. How can we have a clean tongue? David said, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. How can our tongue be acceptable? What can we do? What can we ask God to help us with? Because we can't tame it. We can try, but we won't. But God can, and He'll help us. But there's two things we need to ask. The first thing, look at James chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You know, it's unnatural. You know, you never have bitter and sweet at the same time. It's either sweet or it's bitter. And you don't have both. But yet our tongue produces sweet and bitter. It's an unnatural thing for us to be hypocritical with our tongue. And verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's unnatural. It can't happen. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works without meekness of wisdom. Here it is in verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The first thing we need to ask God for, we need to ask God for a clean heart. We need to ask God, Lord, would you clean my heart? Because God tells us The reason our tongue comes out with filthy words, the reason we will be dishonest, the reason we have proud talk, or the reason we are rebellious with our tongue is because of our heart. The Bible tells us in Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. Okay, so if our heart is full of sin, if we're living in sin, our heart is dirty, and on the inside we have bitterness, we're going to be unkind to people. If on the inside it's filthy, and we're always thinking of filthy thoughts, and we're filling our head full of filthy things through television or through our games or whatever it may be, and we have a filthy heart, our words will be filthy. If in our hearts we are rebellious and we're bucking our authority in our hearts, eventually it's going to come out in words as well. The reason we discourage so many is probably due to the fact that our hearts are discouraged. Maybe on the inside we have a discouraged heart, and God doesn't want His Christians to be discouraged. Maybe our hearts are full of unthankfulness. We're full of ingratitude. We think everybody owes us something. We think that we're entitled to everything when we're not. We're not entitled to anything. The Bible says the only thing we're entitled to is hell. And so maybe on the inside of our hearts we're full of ingratitude, and that's probably why our words are always ungrateful words. Maybe because of our hearts, God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we want our tongue to be clean, if we want our tongue to be right, if we want our tongue to be acceptable in God's sight, we have to go to God and say, Lord, would you clean my heart? Lord, would you forgive me my sins? And David did this. He said, God, create in me a clean heart. He said, Lord, he said, search my heart. Try me. He said, Lord, show me all the wickedness, all the filthy sin that's in my life, whatever it is. And Lord, convict me of it. Show it to me. And Lord, please create in me a clean heart. Lord, would you forgive me of this sin? Lord, would you forgive me of this bitterness I have towards this person? Lord, would you forgive me of all the filthiness that's in my heart and all the filthy things I'm putting in my mind that's causing me to think and say filthy words? Lord, would you forgive me of the dishonesty that's in my heart, always thinking of ways how I can get out of it by telling a lie? Lord, would you forgive me of the rebellion that's in my heart, the rebellion that I harbor when people tell me what to do? There's a bristle on the inside, and I get angry and upset, and I think, you know, what are you telling me what to do? Lord, would you forgive me of that? Lord, I know that's not right. I know that's filthy. And if we go to God and we say, God, would you forgive me? God, would you give me a clean heart? He will. He'll cleanse our hearts. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse the sin. He'll get it out of our lives, and we can have a clean tongue. We can have an acceptable tongue because in our heart is right. Our heart is clean before God. So if we want our tongue to be right, we must ask God for a clean heart. And the second thing we need to ask God for, number two, we need to ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God for wisdom. Look at James chapter 3 again. We'll begin in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. God says if we have the wisdom of God inside of our hearts, not the wisdom of a man, not our own foolish thinking, God says our tongue is going to be clean. It says the wisdom from above is pure. It says it's peaceful. We're not going to be trying to fight with everybody and being kind to everybody. We're going to try to be peaceful and kind to everybody coming with. It says it's gentle. It says it's easy to be entreated. It says it's full of mercy. It says it's good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Our tongue is not going to be hypocrites, because And over here, we're talking good about this person to their face. And over here, we're talking bad about them behind their backs. God says our tongue will be clean and right if we learn, if we go to God and ask Him for wisdom. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind. And maybe your attitude is, well, I can't help but say what I think. I just can't help but tell them what I think and what I feel. And God says a fool uttereth all his mind. And Proverbs 15:2, the Bible says the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And if in our hearts we have so much foolishness in our hearts and we have no godly wisdom inside of us, God says we're going to be pouring out foolishness. The foolishness of telling lies. The foolishness of being unkind to others. The foolishness of discouraging people. The foolishness of using filthy, dirty words. The foolishness of proud words. The foolishness of rebellious words. The foolishness of ungrateful words. And God says that we need wisdom. We got to ask God for wisdom. In Proverbs 10:31, God tells us the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. The just mouth, the right mouth is the mouth that's going to bring forth wisdom. And they have God's wisdom dwelling inside them, and they're not going to use their tongue in a wrong and wicked way that God would be displeased with, because they have the wisdom of God dwelling inside them. And God tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, and He'll give you that wisdom that you need. And get God's Word, and God's Word will give you the wisdom that I need and that you need. And so I want my tongue to be acceptable in God's sight. I don't want to go around always hurting people with my tongue. I want to use my tongue for good. I want to use my tongue to tell the God, to preach the gospel to others. I want to use my tongue to encourage others. And I want to use my tongue as a tool, not as a weapon. I want to use my tongue. I want my tongue to be something that God will use, something that God's pleased with. Wouldn't it be much better if our tongues were honest? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better if our tongues were just kind? Wouldn't it be so refreshing if our tongues were always encouraging others, never discouraging people? Wouldn't it be a blessing if our tongues were clean and were pure? Wouldn't it be nice if our tongues were humble? Wouldn't it be great if our tongues were obedient? Wouldn't it be great if our tongues were just grateful? And would it be nice if our tongue was few? If we don't spend all of our day trying to find something, find someone to talk about and to tell them what we think. Instead, we work and our words are few. But this won't happen if we have a filthy heart, and also will not happen if we don't have any of God's wisdom dwelling inside of us. Let's ask God. God, please help my tongue to be acceptable, Lord. Do what David did and pray. Say, Lord, help my tongue to be acceptable. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Ask God to show you. Say, Lord, what filthiness dwells inside of my heart? Because I don't want to continue to use my tongue to hurt people. I don't want to continue to use my tongue to displease people. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him to help our tongues be right. This should be something that we ought to do every day, and not something we just come to the altar one time and say, Lord, would you show me what's wrong in my heart so I can get it right? Lord, would you give me wisdom so I can say the right things? We ought to be asking God every day, Lord, would you help me today? I'm going to go out. I'm going to go to work, and people are going to be rude to me. People are going to be unkind to me. Boss is going to tell me something, and he's going to have an attitude when he tells me. And Lord, I don't want to be the same way. I want to use my words correctly. I want to use my words in a right way. Ask God every day when we wake up, Lord, would you forgive me my sin and help my heart to be clean today? Lord, help, give me your wisdom so I don't say something dumb, so I don't say something that I'll regret. And God will help us, but we have to ask Him, and we have to ask Him every day. And it can't be something we ask Him one time. It's something that we have to do our best, crucify the flesh, and ask God, Lord, would you help me? I want my tongue to be right. So let's come tonight, and I know this is a message I needed. And our tongues get us in trouble, and there's times we say things, and we regret immediately. And once we say it, we can't take it back. And we got to ask God for help. We got to ask God for help. So let's come tonight and ask Him. Let's come and do business with the Lord.